it. Become it. Come on, Spence.
Welcome. No. To the Fight Is Right.
It is the Fight Is Right.
It's the Fight Is Right.
But we're waiting for you to say,
come on now.
There you go. Oh, no, wait a minute. We got new buttons, new toys. Dream it, believe it, become it. You see what's going on?
I know. It's too powerful, man. Why you not block the thing? Yeah, you're pressing these buttons. Bro. You're pressing these buttons that you play Street Fighter.
Listen. Welcome.
Wait then, did you used to go Mr. Dandy's, a chip shop,
of
back
course,
in the day?
Mr. Dandy's. Dandy's.
And you know they're Street Fighter.
Chinaman chips. His chips were the best chips.
The best chips. With the onion juice. Don't muck around.
Big up Mr. Dandy.
Big up Mr. Dandy.
What? Listen. Elevation.
Come on, man. Elevation is creation.
2 weeks on this thing.
Come on, man.
Look at us.
Yeah.
Microphones, headphones.
Now, man,
the man behind the cam. Almost sleeping.
Yeah. big up, Gary. But yeah. We got, what a week of boxing. Fantastic. Of boxing. On the weekend was absolutely, listen.
This coffee's
serious. Let's bow. We need a clap. I think we need a clap for Josh Taylor Riga's progress. What a fight.
What a fight.
And Tony, last week you was on the...
But I told you.
Yeah, you was on... And I went for Taylor for the simple fact because it's here. It was in the UK.
Yes.
We don't know how that fight would have been scored if it was in America, but it was here in the UK. And... What a fight.
Didn't
both
I told,
men.
I told you.
Both men.
This man, I felt it in the room. I told you. And that's what swayed your decision into picking Josh because it's energy. And the young man showed what he's made of. He showed, he wanted it.
He did.
He wanted it. And I personally think those last few rounds turned it in his way because he didn't stop punching.
Yeah, I know. And he didn't care where he was punching either.
He didn't care.
You know what I mean? But you know what? Progress will come back from this as well.
Absolutely.
And you know what? I love the interview that he did afterwards with Andy Scott where he was saying like, you know what? Hey, you know what I mean? The better man got it tonight.
Yes.
And that he's worried because you know what? He's saying he knows it was a close fight. And I know like it was a close fight, but I was in a man's back garden. So if I'm in his backyard, it's going to be totally, totally different. And he took the setback, because I'm not going to say it was a defeat for him. It was a setback, but we know with setbacks, they always build you up for a comeback. And I believe that he will come back because I wasn't too sure about him. I knew that he was cute and all the rest of it. I was watching, I mean, like his fight with Relish and I was watching his fight. And I'm like, I weren't too sure, but I knew that it was tough. But he showed me something in that fight. Both men showed me something in that fight. But the nice thing is this, both men have got fantastic careers ahead of them, and you know we'll be pushing for a rematch in that fight as well because it's such a good fight. Such
absolutely
a good fight.
I think what would you say the fight was, won or lost? I mean, you can't really say lost because both men
when you get fights that good,
yes,
right, when you get fights like that, it's not about the winner or loser, it's about what that fight was, and that fight was absolutely excellent. And it was a shame that there was someone who went out had to leave with an L on their record.
Yes.
But in saying that, they are going to come back. But I think what it was the fact that Progress was like he was trying some hard body shots in there. You know?
Yeah, I saw that.
Hard
but
body
maybe,
shots.
Maybe.
But the straight shots.
Yes.
Of the, I think the straight shots that Taylor was administering, because there's certain times where you go, it would go like with a straight left hand, which is power shot, but it would go straight downstairs with a right.
Yes.
And then it would come through the middle.
Mm.
And I think it's because he was putting in that kind of variation. The more hurtful, slower punches, more thudding punches, but the eye-catching punches, right? The eye-catching punches, which maybe could have been a telling factor on the judge. And plus, here in the UK, and like the crowd would see the shots that Taylor was throwing. But one thing that was good for Taylor was like, he would always answer back.
Always answer
and
back.
And that was the main thing. So like, if it's a round's close, you're going to look at the guy who's answering back always.
Yes.
But I'm not saying the classier work, I'm saying like the more subtly pleasing work, right? We're like, wow, that was really classy. That was like, yeah, was actually done by Regis. Regis put in some really, really classy combinations, but they were the slower punches, the faster punches, and the punches where I think if you are the home fighter, to stamp that authority. And that's what I think Josh Taylor did. And fair play to him. And we have to clap both guys, man. We have to give them both guys to clap. Love to see the rematch. Wouldn't you like to see that rematch?
Absolutely. I feel that who else is in a 140 division?
There ain't. I'd love to see, like, for a big fight, for him to get a big money fight and a big money fight.
Hold on. Wasn't that fight for big money?
Yeah, of course it was. But another big money fight.
Okay.
Because who else is they going to for a big money fight for those guys right now? Yeah. We heard like Javonte Davis.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Davis said, like, yeah, I'd like to come and I want to fight Josh
Taylor.
But
Josh said, is this a joke?
Yeah. I like Josh Taylor, man. He's
a warrior.
I like the guy. I like
he's
the guy.
A warrior.
And for him to have done what he has done is in such a short succession of fights that he's had.
Hold on. I'm a trainer. Big up Shane McGuigan.
Yeah.
The guy.
Clap Shane. He's my guy. You know Shane's my guy. I remember seeing Shane McGuigan fight way back. This is like 10 years ago as an amateur.
As an amateur.
Shane, good people as well, man. Very, very good people. And he doesn't get carried away by the hype of the game. Yeah. So yeah, he's done really great. But yeah, man, let's move on. Derek Chisora. You know what I mean? David Price.
We got to get him on the phone. Yeah, we got to get Derek. Yeah, Delbert.
We got to talk about that.
Because Derek is the man.
Yo.
Yeah, I'm with Tunde right now.
Do you never ask in your life what Tunde you're talking about, Derek. In your life.
Hey. What's the word of the day today?
The bar of the day. You see, that's what even the bar. What was the bar day the day today? Oh my goodness, I can't remember today. I've been lashing them every day. I need to start charging them for this, Derek. What do you think?
Mate, just do what makes you happy, brother. That's the most important thing.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Oh yeah, I'll tell you what the bar is. I said, fake it till you don't make it. Because the greatest gift in life is to become who you truly are. You see that one, Derek? The greatest gift in life is to become who you truly are. Not pretending. If your name's Derek Chisora, be Derek Chisora. Don't try to be a next fan. That's why I love you.
Yeah. Simple.
Anyway, you know what? You're live on myself and Spencer's show. You are the first heavyweight boxer because we wanted to give you that privilege. And you're my brother.
talk about ambush.
You ain't got no choice, bro.
I got no choice.
This is the uncles.
You lucky enough I don't live on the farm. I don't pay no reception.
Trust me. Anyway, so let Spencer ask you a question first.
Yeah, Derek, you know, Derek, fantastic performance on the weekend.
Absolutely.
David Price, what's the future hold? And what was your feeling when you went into that fight with David Price? Did you think that you could knock him out and stop him in a way that you did?
Listen, David Price is a good fighter, man. He's a big guy, man. I didn't realize how big he was because I haven't seen him for a while. And I lost his last two performances, and the guy was using his jab very beautiful. Then I just say I'm going to take his jab away. And the only way you take a man's jab away is bobbing and weaving and it's chucking it wherever you want to chuck it, you'll catch it. So I was starting from the bottom, from the body going up and then head going down. So I was buffling him, but it worked out perfectly, you know.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, I've known you for some time, man. But what I did notice in that fight is that you started early. You wasn't taking no prisoners. You know, was that part of the game plan just to go from the gate? You know, because
Do you know what? I know most, you know, one thing I realize in this game, heavyweights don't train for fitness. They train to pace the fight, you know, one round, two rounds. So I wanted to go take any heavyweight I fight now. I'm just going to go into trenches, basically. Like, just get tired, you know, huffing and puffing. Just go in there, fight the gum shield, punch for the next 3 minutes, sit down 1 minute. Get up again, go again, keep going, you know. Because in my sparring, I had two guys.
Yes.
One in, one out, just going at it nonstop. Mm-hmm.
It's funny you say you mentioned that because, you know, I read something about Lennox Lewis and he was talking about his A game and a B game, or A plan and B plan, and he said that, you know, fighters who are used to the KO, once that doesn't happen, they ain't got no answer. Yeah. So his A game was always conditioning, and a beautifully executed A plan sets up a B, which is the KO. You know, the B presents itself. So I definitely hear what you're saying because you know, I read that about Lennox talking about the conditioning being the most part of his game, or the most important part of his game. And I feel that if that's, you know, the way you're going on now, ask anyone. Better still, look at the show myself and Spencer did before the fight, on the preview of the fight. Spencer was talking about 8 or 9 rounds. I said, what did I say, Spence?
Inside 6.
I told them, Derek. I told them. They don't know. I said, Derek's going to done this fight. No, in fact, no, in fact, that's not the one for me. The one for me is this. Hey, Derek, can you hear that?
Of course you can.
Can you hear that? That's a round of applause. Yeah. I'm giving myself a round of applause because I predicted that.
Self-praise is no recommendation.
No, it's recommendation. That's what they told you.
You shut up. I'll beat you. So, but now, it's hey, like, what? Derek it's was, like, no, Derek, all I got to say is this. The way, just everything, to the build up of the fight, to how you were saying, listen, you just bat up Eddie Hearn, are you just shining people like, right, you know what, you lost challenge. Yeah, no, I like that.
Yes.
I like when fighters stand up for themselves. I like when fighters are there and they're talking up for themselves and say, listen, I know how this game goes. And yes. Furthermore, you know what I mean? No one ain't coming out to see no one, but I have to admit, your fight was very good, but I think like Josh Taylor and Progress put in one of the best fights that I've seen this year. It was an excellent fight.
Yeah,
but
man. You know,
the
you
heavyweights.
Know, you know, I tell you what, yeah. When it was me and Joseph Parker, there was an argument to make there. But when Joseph Parker pulled out and it was pricey, you know, there was no leg to stand on. So I just let it go how it was meant to go.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, give a shout out to Josh Taylor and his team. They did a great fight. You know, it was a good fight. I had, you know, it was a 50-50 fight, you know, but it was the last shot of Muhammad Ali, so they couldn't give you a draw, but it was a good fight.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know, but, you know what? Shout out to Eddie Hearn and the Starlin boys, because, you know what? These guys are making boxing. They're giving more fighters a platform to shine on Sky, yes. On the Zone, and on everything. So, you know, boxing right now, boxing the next 10, 20 years, it's going to be buzzing.
Yeah, brother. Yes, it's buzzing right now.
One thing I said prior to this fight... Sorry to cut you there.
No, you don't cut me.
I was saying, you know, after this fight, because not that I was looking past David Price, because I made a good case for David Price as well, but I was the one who said Derek against Usyk. And I'm going to call that fight. I'm going to make that fight happen. I'm putting it into the atmosphere. I need to see that fight, Derek. So if you have to flip over tables, string up a man in a press conference, I need
fight. String up a man.
String up a man. wait a minute.
That's fantasy fights, man.
Yeah, see? That's the fantasy fight. Derek Delboy Chisora against Usyk. I'm putting it out there because I believe if this man really wants to call himself a heavyweight, he can't go there without coming through you first, Derek. Would you like to entertain Alexander Usyk?
Listen, I already said it, man. You know, there's a couple fights out there. You know, Usyk, Joseph Parker, Baby Miller.
Yes.
So, you know, those are the three fighters I'm looking at right now because, to be honest with you, everybody's tied up. You know, Tyson is in there. He's got that fight with Deontay Wilder. That's like a 2-fight contract.
Okay.
You know, Adrian Ruiz, you know, they're going to fight again after Jeddah. So, you know, everything is just flying up and down. But you know what? At the bottom here right now,
yes,
I'm just looking to fight. Those three names are the same.
Yes.
You know, but God will give me one of those fights by maybe next year. So, and I hope it happens. And
I got no doubt that he's going to get one of those fights because there's no one else for him to fight. There's no one else for these guys to fight.
That's true.
And right now, you're hot. You're hot again. You're like from from the Spilker knockout.
Yes.
Right?
Tremendous knockout.
Right? And even when you came in second best against Dylan White, but you was bossing that fight as well. It's like...
Yeah, man, you know what? It's that fight, man. You know, after that fight, you know, after I left the ring, I was like, you know what? I got knocked out. I can't say nothing. You know, I got caught.
Yes.
You know, I lost concentration, you know. I ended up fighting the ref in that fight. So I'm not going to complain about that. You know,
yeah, but look how you've come back. This is what I'm trying to say. You should be commended because look how you have come back. You've got a new
life. Yeah, but
life.
You know, this is, you know, it's all to do with God, bro. You know, it's like, you know, you just look at things, you know,
yes,
you change certain things in your life. You know, and one of the biggest changes I did was me to partner up with David Haye. And then, you know, from when I partnered up with David, you know, the guy drove to my house, goes, you know what, I'm not happy with the way I've let you train for 1 week by yourself and nothing is showing. So, rather you move near my in the hotel I'm staying at, so I can monitor you every day, what you eat, what you don't take, what you're doing. And from then, I said, you know what? If I'm going to do this, I'd rather give it all. So I've given it all. I moved out of my house. You know, everything was gone perfectly. You know, even now, you know, he's on the case. Say, okay, we're going to start training on this day. So to take time, leave, don't even think about boxing, you know. And plus, you know, David don't train me. He writes a serious program. You know, I would like when I'm retired, one guy should go join David and then you can train because the guy writes a serious program for you to train. And when you train 1 week, you're done. You think you're going to die.
Wow.
You know, so, you know, shout out to the Haymaker for
so
that.
So would you say the fact that, you know, you've changed around your training regime and the way you do things in terms of eating has definitely made up, you know, the positive, well, I mean, the results speak for themselves, but personally, do you think it's actually made a great change to your life?
Yeah, man, because, you know, the way I train, I train hard.
Yes.
Yeah, I train very, very hard. So when I get in the ring, I know for a fact that man hasn't done what I've done.
Yes.
So I can set the pace as hard as I want to.
Mm-hmm.
And my opponent will be like, oh my goodness, is he going to slow down or not slow down?
Yes.
You know, but I keep going, and I don't want to stop until he's going to go 12 rounds or somebody gets knocked out.
Yes, yes. Tremendous. Well, Derek, listen, it's been great talking to you. Thank you for blessing us with your presence.
Yeah. Thanks for, you know what? Thank you for ambushing me.
Yeah, you know what?
Listen, you phoned me to promise me a gold chain. I was like,
I've promised him a chain. He's getting a chain from 777 down at, where are they? They're in Hatton Gardens.
Make sure it's not Carrasco stones in there, bro. Make sure it's real diamonds.
Swarovski. I'm talking real. I'm talking real diamonds, and not from Sierra Leone.
Now, Derek, on a real, believe me, you know me. I'm a giver, and I love it. A young man like yourself, you know the way you've turned it around, and I wish you nothing but the best. I've always been like that anyway. I only look at try to see the best in people. And I just love it. I just love the way you've come back and the way you're on a winning streak. You've surrounded yourself with the right people. And you're going to be a world champion. I believe that. So
thank you very much.
You just keep doing what you're doing and don't stop.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, keep on doing what you're doing, Derek. You're a God blessed man. And you are so entertaining. Before fights, during fights, and after fights.
I'm still saying Derek should have topped that, bro. I don't care.
You are exciting, brother. Carry on doing what you're doing, and God bless you, yeah? And like, big up for coming on The Fight Is Right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Also, this weekend, which may have gone unnoticed, but it was definitely on the radar.
Not for me.
Yeah, because you're a boxer, man. As we all know, the knowledge. Shakur Stevenson picked up, I think it was a vacant belt.
It was a vacant belt.
The WBO featherweight title. And he's already calling out man like Josh Warren. He's saying, brother, I'm ready to come to England and get that work.
Yeah, listen. Fair play to him. You know, there's a little rift between him and the Gonzalez camp. right? Right, but I ain't going there. But Joette Gonzalez.
Let's keep it boxing, Spence.
Yeah, I am keeping it boxing. This is boxing. Like, the girl is a boxer as well. It's boxing, bro.
Oh, yeah, the girl's a boxer.
Yeah, boxer. You know what I mean? But Joette Gonzalez is a very, very good fighter. But what it showed me is like, if this kid, in a handful of fights, after competing in the Olympics and getting getting a silver medal, right? After like competing and getting a silver medal in the Olympics, right?
Yes.
I break down his whole career because I'll go straight up. For him to go in there and box the way that he boxed Tundi, it was like the kid didn't even come out of first gear.
That's absolutely true. Right? He's definitely a skill star.
Right. He didn't even come out of first gear, Tundi. He was like, yes. He boxed. Just for a southpaw as well, it's like, He does a lot of pull counters.
But
like he waits and he does a lot of pull counters, but he comes back with a right hook from his southpaw position.
I'm not being funny. You know, obviously, you spoke about the relationship he had with his the fighter's Gonzalez sister.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, like, do you think that the performance was that relaxed because he knew the guy?
They sparred though. And Gonzalez teared him up in sparring, apparently.
Oh, is that right?
So, yeah, I mean, and then like even, but fair play to Gonzalez, because Gonzalez was saying, like, sometimes you can't read too much into this sparring thing.
Of course not.
Because end of the day, I went in with a guy and I come up second best.
Yes.
Right? I rate because he was led in the ring and he had these guys around him, like Terence Crawford was with him. Andre Ward was with him.
Wow.
Right. But you know, they're managed by Jay Prince.
Yeah.
Well, furthermore, you know what? Let's get Jay Prince on the phone.
You got his number?
Yeah. Twin, come on, man.
The knowledge.
Come on.
Jay Prince is a legend.
He's my man, Tundi.
You can just pick up the phone and phone Jay Prince.
Tundi.
I need to talk to him.
Do you want to slap the black off him?
Nah, I need to talk. If you could get Jay Prince on the phone, I need to talk to him because he's one of the guys that I secretly studied.
Okay.
Because he's the man in the background. He's like an Al Haymon. Yeah. He's like a Charles Avon.
Yeah, he's big.
He's big. You know, been in the game 35 years. Managed, you know, fighters like Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, come on, man.
Andre Ward.
Come on, man.
We need to get, if you can get him on the phone.
Let's get him on the phone now, man.
Let's get him on the phone. First of all, let me just introduce myself. Mr. Prince, this is Tundi speaking. The co-host for Spencer. We grew up together.
Yeah.
From back in the day.
Oh, good.
But I've been following you for the longest. I remember early Floyd Mayweather days, and you was there. I know you had a part to play in that. But just from the rap-a-lot scene, I remember watching I don't know if it was a documentary or a YouTube clip on you, you know, and just speaking about, you know, how you just envisioned everything and how, you know, it came through, and then nothing but the grace of God and things like that, they inspire me. So I just want to say before we even touch the interview that you're one of my inspirations, 100%.
I appreciate that, man.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate the support.
Yes, sir. Always.
As well.
You know, it's hard to find guys that are real and keep it real consistently over a period of time. You know yourself, a lot of people come and go, you know, but
right. You've
been representing for the longest, and I know you're gonna breathe your last breath before you stop representing. So
yeah, that's real.
Yeah. So it's all love, brother. It's all love.
Yeah, man. So when are we gonna start filming? We're gonna film right. Boom. Right. The fight is right.
We're here,
and we're here with the big man on the phone right now. When you talk about Don Dada, this Amanya, this is the real McQuay. You know Jay Prince is Jamaican, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, I'm joking.
Don't lie.
No, I'm joking. Jay Prince.
I definitely have some Jamaican in me.
Yeah,
we
you
have
know
to.
That.
We
but,
have to.
But all Jamaicans are African, so it's all love in the place. But no, Jay Prince. We saw a fantastic win on the weekend with one of your prospects, Shakur Stevens. And Stevenson put in a really, really good performance against Joette Gonzalez. From when you've had Shakur, did you know that he could win a world title so early from turning professional?
Yeah, yeah, most definitely. I saw those skills, the potential in him way before he even turned pro. Mm. So I knew that he had the ingredients to become a world champion. Yes. Before the average time or the average fight that most become world champions. He was a lot of steps ahead.
How, Jay Prince, Tundi speaking here. How far do you think this young man can go? Do you feel that he has the credentials or, you know, the stick you need to be a long reigning champion? Do you think he has that? Because many fighters and many champions of the past, you know, they make a few millions and the whole dedication, you know, it leaves them, you know, the lights, the fame. From mm-hmm. what you've seen with Shakur, do you think he has the minerals to be a long reigning champion?
Yeah, most definitely. I think he has the minerals, the ingredients, the discipline, and everything that it takes to be a reigning world champion for a long time. Because first of all, you know, we know the sweet science of the sport that really gives you longevity is to hit and not be hit.
That's correct.
And he seemed to have mastered that part. So, you know, all the other is outside of the ring. And, you know, he's doing well right now.
Yes. I mean, I've never actually watched, you know, before. To this day, I still ain't watched Shakur. But, you know, I don't really look on fighters outside of one I personally train. But one vivid memory I have of Shakur was in the Olympics and how he took the defeat. I think it was, he got a silver medal, is that right? But I remember the young brother, he took mm-hmm. it so personal. You know, I guess everybody when they lose, but you can actually feel the passion and the pain in him. And I said to myself, yeah, this one here, I see something special in there. Just by, not even watching him, but just by the emotion. Because you know yourself. You seen them all. You know, you know, every so often, there comes along a Andre Ward. There comes along a Floyd Mayweather. And I just, I personally think, without even watching him, that Shakur can be, because how old is he, Jay? How old is he?
22.
Shakur, 22.
Wow.
22 years
old. And already a world champion.
Already a world champion.
Right.
Make it crown. Yeah. But the talk is now that you straight away you're looking to unify. So we have Josh Warren over here in the UK. And I know that you're looking around. We spent some time out in Dubai. You know what I mean? I was trying to convert Jay Prince to Islam. But now it's like, he's a strong church man, you know.
Yes, sir.
Right. So the Josh Warren fight. How soon would you like that fight? Because Josh Warren is an accomplished fighter. He's beaten some very good fighters on the win, a very good win over Lee Selby, very, very good win over Carl Frampton. Do you see that fight happening like now or make it build?
Yeah, no, I definitely, I think Shakur, we would like to embrace that like ASAP.
Wow.
You know, we feel like we're ready. We have a lot of respect for Warrington because, you know, like you say, he's a well-rounded fighter. Mm-hmm. But we would like to see him as soon as possible.
Okay.
Wow. Going back just a little bit, I want you to tell me just briefly, I know, did you actually manage Floyd at one point in his career?
Floyd Mayweather. Oh, yeah, most definitely.
And also, and also Andre Ward, is that correct?
Yeah, he managed both of them, Andre Ward.
Yeah, I definitely managed both of those guys. I had a lot of fun with both of them. I still manage Andre Ward.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. And what was your experience like, you know, working with Floyd? Because, you know, myself going to Las Vegas, I see, you know, Floyd is very centered. He's very self-centered. And I wondered if sometimes, you know, I always try to tell the people that sometimes what you see on the screen is not the actual person. So I'd be interested to hear your views on, you know, how you personally saw Floyd and your time working with him, your experiences and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a beautiful journey coming in with Floyd. He was like one of my first fighters that I had an opportunity to manage. And when I came into his world, a lot of people wasn't ready for it because, you know, I brought along with me hip-hop swagger.
Yes.
You know what I mean? We being an independent record label, you know, we had a mindset where we, like, done our own thing and moved the way we wanted to move. And that was something that, you know, I was able to share with Floyd and encourage him to really be himself, you know, because when I met him, he was, you know, somewhat quiet when he got on the podium, you know, with the promoters at the fight and different things like that. But he was somebody else away from that. And I encouraged him to be himself.
Hold on there. Wait, just wait there, because I'm going to give you this. I don't know whether you can hear that on the other line.
Yeah.
But that was a round of applause. I'm trying to say. You see, the reason why I had to give you a round of applause is because me and Spencer were inspired by this kind of talk, you know, and again, having you on the show. And I told you, even, you know, Spencer's never really heard me speak your name, but, you know, I'm a secret student. And I study the greats, and I've always looked at you as a great, and just because of the independence. And, you know, me and Spencer, we've done something unique, I would say,
right,
in building this platform.
We've done our own thing.
And you're leading the way. You know, we're trying to emulate. So, yeah,
100%, man.
Yeah, man. Sorry. I had to give you a round of applause. I had to tell you, because this is it. You know, again, right now I'm like a little kid in a candy shop because, you know, you know yourself. I'm sure you had people that you looked up to. That would be a good question. You know, who was your, who did you look up to? Who did you, who were you inspired by?
Well, I would have to begin with my mother.
Amen. You know,
Amen to that.
Yeah. My mother and my father, you know, they were, you know, some of grandmothers, you know, them was the people who shaped and mold my character. So, you know, if nobody come before them other than, you know, our creator.
Amen.
Yes, sir. And I believe that with all my heart, because everyone who knows me knows I speak about my father all the time. And you know, it is as young, I guess it's the same in America. You know, not many of us, black, white, Asian or otherwise, in the inner cities grow up with their fathers. You know, so to have a father to look up to and as a role model, it's just a great thing. And I'm happy that the listeners can hear this coming from a man like yourself. Your inspiration was your mother, your father, your grandmother. And then, again, I know Spencer wants to ask you.
Yeah. This one, because I've read the book Respect, and unfortunately, like, because only a few months ago we was out in Dubai together, so, and like, I should have got the signed copy though. I didn't get the signed copy. But what I am saying is this: there's a renowned story, like, and it's like kind of legendary now. And I'd like you to elaborate on it. That allegedly, Floyd had some money for you, and Bob Arum, which I've heard an interview with Bob Arum, said, Floyd came to me and said, you've got to play this guy, Jay Prince. And like, so could you elaborate on that story? Whatever, how much was it? How much did he have to run and give you back? He had to pay you back some money or something for him to fight?
No, I don't know. It wasn't about paying me back. It was just about, you know, me being compensated for my work, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
That was with that fight that was taking place. So, you know, it was just a misunderstanding in the air that, you know, was corrected, and, you know, I got paid and we good.
Because your book title is Respect, and I know, like, you live by that code, because, like, It's like anything that happens, like we always hear like, oh, well, a rapper got some jewelry snatched. Oh, let's talk to Jay Prince. Oh, someone got their car jacked. Let's talk to Jay Prince. Like, it's seemingly like you are that guy who carries that respect. Like, people just know, Jay Prince, well, boy, we got a bow to the elders. And like, you're the person that gets things done. How did you manage to get in that position of like, people just knew like your seriousness of business?
Well, I would say, first of all, by giving respect. You know, exactly. I always been a man that gave respect, and from giving respect, you know, I demanded my respect. And you know, you all from the hood, like I'm from the hood, so you can only imagine the things that one have to go through along the journey to earn his respect.
That's right.
So, you know, just like many others before me, I had to earn it, but, you know, I started off by giving it. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing when you earn your respect with in a finesse manner. Mm. You know, it's one thing being sloppy, earning it and getting yourself in a bunch of arrests and, you know, different things like that. But when you can do things in a finesse manner, the brothers in the hood and the streets, you know, it seem to even give it to you a little more. And I happen to be one of those guys.
But it's not even like the brothers in the streets, because you've transcended from the streets and you've broken all barriers. Because, like, you know, they said, oh, well, Drake, you were the person that found Drake. You go for it. Like, and we're going back from way back from the Ghetto Boys, you know what I mean? And like, from everything that you've done, like right throughout from hip hop, then from hip hop you jump to sport, then Andre Ward signs that massive deal with Roc Nation Sports. Incredible. Yeah. You just keep on going. And what I've also realized is this: the fighters that you usually deal with, they're skillsters. You don't really deal with rough and tumble fighters. You usually deal with skillsters, guys with finesse, guys with style, with class, that kind of swag in the boxing, like the guys who do with the sweet science. So it would seem to me that you're actually a fan of the sweet science more than the rumble, tumble, the bruising of the sport.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm definitely a fan. And most of all, you know, I like to win. So I'm not a person that don't like to win. So I have an eye to be able to, you know, see a winner, you know, when I spot it. But, you know, yeah, it's just like you said, you know, I definitely have elevated from the street. You know, I always, you know, give credit where my foundation was laid, but I have elevated in this world that's called corporate America or the corporate worldwide.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a blessing. You know, it's a blessing to be able to apply strong principles that I was able to learn in the street to corporate America.
So, one golden question for any young entrepreneur starting in business, you know, what would your one piece of advice, your golden piece of advice be to that young person who wants to emulate you, wants to, you know, be independent and own his own stuff, you know?
Well,
what kind of advice would you, what would be a great piece of advice for someone starting on that?
Well, I will begin with this one, to be fearless.
Yes.
You know, to not allow fear to reside in your dreams, in your visions, in no capacity. Because the word fear, you know, it's a word that I don't believe is of God. But most of all, I see so many get paralyzed because of the word fear, whether it's coming from another, whether it's coming from somebody in the household or wherever the case may be. So be a fearless individual and then equip yourself. You know, equip yourself with the necessities that it takes to win with, you know, and that could be different things and different fields that you may choose, but you want to equip yourself. You want to equip yourself of the what, when, where, and how ingredients to accomplish, you know, the goals that's before you.
And it's that's so on point because, you know, we started this podcast 2 weeks ago, and now today, for the first time ever, we're using microphones, headphones, live transmission.
And we're speaking to a legend.
So we done that in 2 weeks. People been at this game for a long time, but I took my own money. And I again, it's you people that inspired me. People like yourself. I took my own money. I invested back in myself. And Spencer came here this evening and he's like, oh my goodness. And I'm saying, this is what we got to do, Spencer. We got to invest back in ourselves.
Yeah. And you have to be fearless to do that.
100%.
You know what I mean?
Well, you know some, me.
Yeah, I know Spence.
You know me, Spence. Again, you talk about blessings and your belief in God and your the fearlessness. And I just feel that, you know, Spencer will back me up. I've been telling
you. Yeah, no, and that's important as well. It's important to surround yourself with like-minded individuals.
Yes.
Because, you know, to have, you know, a chain is only strong as its weakest link. Mm-hmm. So
yes,
to have your to be surrounded by someone who's second guessing or who is weak and won't invest in himself, don't believe in himself, his mind is not strong enough to say, you know, I'm just as smart or wise as any of them. You know, I can do all things. You know, that could be a crutch or a bondage that can stop the movement.
We don't get weed. Lines in the cup. Lines in the cup.
Yeah, 100%.
Well,
Jay Prince, before you go, because I like your stories, I can listen to you all day
long.
It's like this seems just like we're out in Dubai again. Because I was just prepping. He must have been getting sick and tired of all the questions I was asking. But because I was just I'm just around one of the man them. You get what I'm trying to say? One of the man them. But I remember you in reading your book Respect, you lost a lot of money on a famous fight between Roy Jones and Mike Tyson. I just like when you tell that story.
Oh,
so
man,
can you just tell me that story one more time? I just want to hear the story.
Roy Jones and Mike Tyson.
Yeah. Roy Jones and Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
What happened there, sir?
Oh, man. Well, that was a big dream that never really came to fruition.
Oh, wow.
But I was able to set up a meeting with my friend, Roy Jones. And, of course, I knew Mike. We all met out at my ranch to talk about scheduling that fight.
Wow.
And we left with a game plan. You know, we left in agreement that they all would fight. It was just a matter of getting someone that would put the money up for the fight. And we seeked out the Maloof brothers. And myself and Roy, we went and had a meeting with one of the Maloof brothers, or maybe it was two. And basically, we wanted them to guarantee each fight of at least $25 million. And they was a little short of that. They wanted to guarantee like $17
million. Mm.
And at the time, you know, Roy wasn't happy with that. He felt like he could get them up. And, you know, between getting them up and the fight with Tarver, we all know what happened.
So basically, Tarver
ruined your plans.
Ruined the plans.
Yeah, he threw a wrench in that.
Oh
that
my thing. Goodness! Listen, hold on. This bar is called for. Dream it, believe it, become it. Because we dreamt it, we believed it, but Tarver never allowed us to become it.
That's a wah, wah, wah.
That's a... Hold on, wait. We got the one for that. That's for Tarver, for messing up. But that is a fantasy fight. that we are going to discuss today. Roy Jones Jr. versus Mike Tyson.
Okay, we got that one. And let us say again, I mean, seriously, it's been an honor, a blessing. Me, like, I speak to Jay quite regularly, but to get him on the show, that is like, I kind of first guess it's going to be hard to go top this now.
No way.
It's going to be too hard. It's too hard. You just mashed up the whole thing now, Jay. But
man, hey, I can't wait. I can't wait to come there and see my man Shakur.
Yes.
Put hands on.
On Josh.
What do you think would happen if he fights Josh Wharton? How many rounds? What do you think would happen?
I think it would be a interesting fight. You know, I would like to see him punish him.
Punish him?
Yeah, with a lot of rounds. I'm not even hoping that fight ends fast.
Okay. But, Josh, you know, Taylor comes, he brings that work. And, you know, Josh
yeah,
Wharton,
I know. I know
that work.
He's going to have something to say about that, and that's what's going to make the fight so exciting.
Maybe we got to get Josh on the phone.
We got to get Josh on the phone.
We got to get Shakur on the phone.
Yeah, it's all good,
man. And let's make this fight happen, and let's take our percentage.
100%.
Jay Prince, it has been an absolute honor. I don't know how we're going to top this, because a legend of 35 years in business. We can't even just say boxing or rap or business. 35 years in the game strong, idol to many, inspiration to most, and a God-fearing man, and God bless you, brother. Thank you.
I appreciate y'all.
Take care. God bless, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, sir. And moving forward, we've got a fight that was on the undercard that I guess it may have been unnoticed, but definitely from the post-fight interview, he definitely wanted to be.
Yeah, 100%, man. Lawrence Okolie.
He soon might be called the pound boy, not the penny boy. Sorry, let me clear my throat. Lawrence Penny Boy. No, I'm changing it, Lawrence. Your name is now Lawrence Pound Boy Okolie.
Is it? Why is that? Because he's pounded jam. I you know what? I think people have been overly critical of Lawrence Okolie.
How?
I don't understand. I know, but they are, though. They are. A lot
but
of people.
But he's winning.
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to say, right? He's coming to the game. He's become...
British Commonwealth and European champion 14 fights.
In 14 fights, bro. Yeah, I mean, we can't. You can't knock that. I don't care. I want to know who's in at 14 fights.
I think it's made just probably because it's not a purist style, but it's his style.
It's effective, mate.
It's very effective, and he's using his attributes to the best of his ability. And the statistics or the facts or the stats don't lie.
Right. And I'm saying Lawrence Okolie has the power to clap out anyone in the world, you know.
I would love to get him on the floor. Because I heard he's sparred with Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury.
Yeah, it was used for Tyson Fury last year when Tyson Fury was getting ready to fight Deontay Wilder.
And even he spars with Daniel Dubois. Right. So he can mix it at that level.
And Dylan White, famously.
And Dylan,
yeah. They went back and forth over on social media over it, but it's all love now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because he posted a clip of it, but yeah, I mean.
Anyway.
Yeah, let's get him on the phone.
All right, we'll do that.
Bro, how are you?
Bro, Lawrence, you asked me on the phone like a Nigerian policeman who just been sent to London.
No.
Working for the Queen.
Oh, no.
Anyway, brother, first off, congratulations.
Congratulations, the European man.
Thank you.
Hold on, wait.
Lies in the cup.
And wait, let me give you this one.
Come on.
We don't get weak.
We get deep. Hold on, we got that one as well. Wait.
We don't get weak. We don't get weak.
Come on.
I'm happy for you, brother.
Penny boys are going to be millionaire boys very soon. I just want you to know this part. Yeah? If you just carry on.
Hey, you see how he put on my man? He said,
stick it on Eddie's hand,
said,
bro.
You're calling out man as prospect and you're not mentioning my man. Come on. This is what I'm trying to say. You're representing, you're standing up for yourself. You know, you should be up there when people talk about well, you're not really a prospect no more. That is right. But, you know, your name should be up there because, you know, very few have done what you've done in a short embryonic stage of your career.
Exactly. And also, if we go look at this thing, because it is a conveyor belt of talent, right?
Yeah.
But when we've seen certain fighters who have gone up to fight for European titles, they've come second best.
That's true.
Right? We go, we go look, Ted Cheeseman, come second best.
Okay,
we go look, Lewis Ritson, come second best, right? Lawrence Okolie goes there and stops an unbeaten fighter who is trained by the son of a legend, right? Because don't get twisted, Brendan Ingle is a MF legend. Know that part, right? So his son must know something. A lot of people don't give his son the credit that he should be that he's deserving of. Mm-hmm. But you got to look on this now that. Yeah, I mean, the Brendan Ingle camp and anyone around that or associated with that, yeah, I mean, birds of a feather flock together.
Yeah, they're not going to really waste time with somebody they don't believe.
Exactly.
It's something.
And the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah, hey, what's going on in the background? You're killing a goat or something? You're killing goats right there.
I'm hosting some comedy event. I think it's good to kind of have a laugh here and there.
What I mean? That's fantastic.
Where's that, in France?
No, I'm back from France.
I saw you in France eating some croissants and snails.
Oh, what? So you beat up the Frenchman and you go to his yard?
Yard. You know what I mean? You know what? In all honesty, I own Europe now. So if I want to go to France for a week, I go to France. If I want to go to Spain, I go to Spain. You know what I mean? But
I love that.
Lies in the cup! Lies in the
come on.
I love that. But I mean, listen, you're young, you're on a rise, you're winning. Yeah. You know, what is next for Lawrence Okolie? Because I'm very interested. You know, people talk about your style and the unorthodox manner in which you fight, but the bottom line is you're winning. I keep telling you, man. That's all that matters. You're winning, you're doing it in an impressive manner, and I can say that I can't really see a cruiserweight that you can't KO. You know, that's my opinion.
I agree.
But what do you feel? What's next for Lawrence Okolie? That's what I want to know.
I feel like seeing like British level come a lot, like European, these kind of guys are finding it difficult to kind of compete with me on a physical and also mental level because people don't realize that. The stuff that I'm doing that they say is awkward and stuff like that, it's calculated. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I'm landing my shots. They all have the same exact game plan. I found a formula to nullify it. Cool. I'm going to add to it. Mm. But ultimately, I would like to push on and see that there's a world champion now. I can't remember how to say his name, but he's just been like sort of promoted to world champion.
Okay.
So he hasn't actually got world championship experience in terms of like, having fights against other world champions.
What weight are you talking about?
Cruiserweight.
You're saying somebody's just been instated?
He's just been promoted, yeah? So basically, that's about the... that's another step up because obviously he has the mindset of a champion, but he hadn't had to win it off another champion or anything like that. So that would be a good sort of step up, I think, for a world title. If not, I don't really know what's out there in Europe, but if not, then I'll do some more learning fights against like former world champions and kind of that kind of level, I think. But right now, you know what I mean, I'm happy to have won the European title, but ultimately I know that there's stuff I need to work on just in my own like personal outlook and stuff. Because I know, cool, I can win fights because I know what I'm doing and I'm strong. But ultimately, you know, I've let certain stuff get to me in the past, even in the build-up. I spoke to you, Spencer. You know, I put attention on stuff that doesn't deserve attention. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Well, all I really need to be focused on is my craft. So I can't wait to see what.
Listen, that's all I'm going to say. That. When anyone's turning around saying, oh, well, he's got awkward style. Oh, well, he, you know what? I'm trying to say, no one is this. Rome was not built in a day, number one. But number two, the biggest room is the room for improvement.
That's correct.
It's as simple as that.
Okay.
So as long as you keep on improving, my friend, and that's what you're doing, and racking up those wins, right? Bracket, yeah. Number one is this. It's called prize fighting for a reason, because you're actually fighting for a prize. And the prize is actually financial gain. We could all say, like, I'm fighting for the glory. That's great. But it's also financial gains as well. That is with it. If not, you'll stay in the amateurs, right? Right, and you haven't done that. And I'm not knocking anyone who's going for their dream. If you're going for your dream, you go after it. But don't go after your dream half-heartedly. And as far as I'm concerned, because we conversate regular, you're not going after your dream half-heartedly. And not only that, people get upset by other people's confidence.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? People look at other people's confidence. So they look on you, sometimes they get a misconception of you because you're a confident human being and you're trying to say, well, I've got my goals and my aspirations, so I'm going to go after them. Unfortunately, certain people live their fears in desperation, but when they see someone trying to propel and go for their future, it winds them up a little bit. And I think they get that a lot with you in how you go about your stuff.
Going back to going back to the current cruiserweight champions, the name I think you were alluding to is Arsène Boumerian. That's his name.
The WBA champion.
Him aside, you know, you have Marius Bredis and you have
Dotticus.
Now, good fighter. I believe those two guys are fighting in the final Super Series. You know, how do you see yourself? You know, and how long is it before you can see yourself matched up against that, you know, caliber of fighter?
It's an interesting one because, as I said, I believe I have the power to sort of compete, but then that's where the experience factor that I spoke about comes in. But they've had several world championship fights.
Absolutely.
That's something that I'm not going to sit here, you know, pretending to you. So those are very difficult fights.
Yes.
That I believe I have the physical and mental attributes to compete.
Yes.
But in terms of being wholehearted about, am I going to walk in and win?
Yes.
No, at this current stage. But with a bit more experience, definitely.
Yes.
And that's the key, my friend. Yes. That's the key. The key is that, and you're under no illusion. Right.
I mean, you know, there's the regular champion is Shimonov. That's a fight.
I got him. Take a fight with me, though.
That's definitely a fight.
Eddie could pull strings right now. That's what I'm trying to say to you.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, I think the young man is very clear about his career. It's the right, what you're saying is absolutely right, you know, because, you know, unless I said it in terms of, you know, myself and Anthony, you know, the reward for risk has to be tremendous, you know, and that's the only thing when you can say, you know what, I'm going to go for this. Because I'm going to be rewarded heavily.
Yeah, sure.
I can actually pull this off because nobody's going into a fight thinking they're going to lose. Well, no one who's around these. Anyway, so, but I believe you got, you know, you got the right head on your shoulders and that's smart. And continue to be like that. You know, don't let nobody influence you in a way that, you know, you go into a fight and it's not what you want to do. You know, because, you know, boxing... You said it right. It's about calculated moves at calculated times.
Yeah,
100%. And lastly, I'm going to say this to you. Now that you're back in the UK, stay off of the Agusi and the jollof rice and that pounded yam. The pounded yam you can eat, but not every once in a while, because that will put you to sleep, bro.
It's not possible.
You know what I mean? I used to come to Tundi's house back in the day and have some pounded yam, and I used to sleep on his sofa for 3 days, bro.
Oh, my God.
Listen, Lawrence.
Have a good one,
Lawrence. It's been fantastic speaking to you. Congratulations on your recent victory, and you know me already. I wish you nothing but the best and continued success.
Keep on studying Tommy Hearns and keep on studying Bob Foster, frying them little short shots on the inside. And
here he goes again.
Take care. God bless my
brother.
Jeremy, Fanny Boy, Lawrence Okolie.
The fight is right.
Come on down. As we're moving on, we have a really, really big fight on the weekend on Sky and DAZN. You know what I mean? Sergei the Crusher.
Kovalev.
Right? Versus Saul
Canelo
Alvarez. This guy, right? It's gonna be such a good fight.
Don't underestimate the crusher. I'm just telling man this now. So come Sunday morning, when we get the result, no one ain't surprised.
All right. Well,
because this fight is not what people think it's gonna.
Right, you've been up against him once with Anthony Yard, which was 2 months ago now.
August 24th, 2019. Right, we'll never forget the day.
All right, so that's 2 months ago.
Yes,
and but Virgil Hunter has had two fighters that's gone up against him, right? And you know what I mean Angulo and also Amir Khan.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know what I mean I'm gonna get Virgil on the phone. You know what I mean world renowned trainer
Virgil himself.
Virgil himself. You're really taking liberties. So like, why are you always that? I said, I'll get this man for you. I just want
everyone to know it's not me.
All right, cool.
It's the man Spencer, the one and only, the knowledge.
Yeah, but you give me the powers to phone them.
Of course.
Because if I want to say, I ain't phoning them, be there. All right, and also let me just big up Robin Block, because Robin Block suspense. You got everyone in your phone book, you know?
Yes.
Use them. You know what I mean? So yeah, I'm going to use them. Let me just go ring my brother. Let's ring Virgil Hunter and let's see what he's got to say. All right?
Let's get him on the phone.
Cool. Yo, Mr. Hunter, how is my
brother? How's everything going, Spence? I'm doing fine. How you doing?
Everything's doing great. I'm feeling even better, even blessed to be talking to you, Mr. Hunter.
Yeah, I've been following you and everything. It looks like everything is going well with you.
You know, God's blowing that breeze on me. I was up with Jay Prince a couple months ago in Dubai. Jay Prince had nothing but love for you, Virgil Hunter, saying that.
Yeah, that's my man.
Yeah, he said you were the one that brought Andre Ward to him. Right?
Yeah, that's my man. I'm in Vegas now. I got a kid on this Kovalev Canelo card.
Who you got?
His name is Bakram. He's a Russian kid. I can't pronounce his last name. I don't even try. But he's fighting a title eliminator, 154-pound title eliminator, IBF.
Okay.
He's 18-0. He's a man.
I've seen him. He's 18-0. Yeah. He's got 15 KOs.
Right. Very strong puncher.
He don't play, man.
Yeah.
I see you do something.
What's going on, man?
Man, I'm just cracking. I want your opinion on the big fight Canelo versus Kovalev. Seeing as you've been in there twice with Kovalev and come out successful, and you've also had fighters that's gone in with Canelo and were unsuccessful. So I'd like to hear your take on the fight, brother. What's your take?
Well, of course, you know when Amir went in there, he should have never even went in there. I was totally against that fight.
Yes.
And then Angulo was handpicked. You know, he couldn't turn down the money. It was a good payday for him, but it was obvious he wasn't in Canelo's league. But we did the best that we could. So I never had the right weapon to go in there against Canelo. You know, it was always a disadvantage. Can you hear me, Seth?
I can hear you clear, loud and clear, sir. I can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah, I'm on the strip here.
Okay.
Talk a little louder.
All right. So what do you think? I'm with my brother Tundi as well, who trains Anthony Yard.
Okay.
Yeah.
How you doing, brother?
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Tundi? How you doing, coach?
Oh man, it's such an honor to talk to you for the first time, and to hear your voice is a big honor for me.
Well, same thing here. Much respect.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, much respect on the job you're doing with their kids. You've done a hell of a job with them.
Yes.
You were just that close.
Just that close. And, I say it to everybody. I said, remember, Anthony Yard is at the embryonic stage of his career. He's still got a long career to go. Kovalev is a seasoned elite champion. And we were that close.
Right.
We were that close. And we went
to... He was just that close,
We went to a man's backyard, Russia. You know, people will never... I don't know if there's people who don't understand what we did and you know, the risk that we took. And it was a calculated risk. It was a risk worth the reward. And I'm happy for Anthony. You know, he came out. He's healthy. He's back in the gym. And the journey continues.
It definitely made him more dangerous to the division because it elevated his confidence, let him know I belong here.
Yes.
And there's nowhere else to go but up.
Yes, sir.
All
yes,
right.
Sir. So probably gonna be tough for him to get fights now.
Yeah, yeah. You know, money solveth, as they say where I come from in Nigeria, money solveth all problems.
That's right. And trust me, right.
Virgil, you want to see the car that Coach Tundi bought me as a gift?
Don't listen to him. Coach.
No. I'm gonna show you the car that he bought me. People ain't seen the Maserati. He bought me a Maserati Jeep. But anyway, what's your take?
Oh my goodness.
I'm telling you, he's my brother. We and him grew up together, man. Yeah, we used to run the streets and everything. And we're going to run boxing too. So I want to say, what's your take on this Kovalev versus Canelo fight? Who do you think is going
to
win and why?
You know, it all depends to me on Kovalev's legs. He seems to still have his in and out legs.
Yes.
And Canelo doesn't go past that first step too often when he's attacking. Mm. Although he has the ability to walk you down. It'll be interesting to see if he's successful walking Kovalev down. He's got a good chance. If he's more stationary, it'll be more difficult for him. But then the other issue is the weight gain. A lot of people don't realize that extra weight really can fatigue you in the middle rounds, even from five on.
Exactly.
It's a big difference. I don't see how they're pulling that off.
Exactly. I mean, this is my point, Coach. I'm like, we know what Canelo can do, but Kovalev's a big man. He's going to put on a lot of weight. And then how is Canelo going to deal with that in the middle rounds?
I guarantee you there's been a stipulation in the contract that Kovalev can't come in over a certain weight.
Is that right?
I guarantee you.
They said that.
Well, they haven't indicated that yet. Exactly. They say it's no stipulation.
There's none.
But I wouldn't be surprised if they have a hush-hush stipulation.
Definitely. No. Come on, Golden Boy. You know. Listen, you're dealing with Golden Boy,
No, but I mean, they said it. Kovalev said it. He said it in the talks. He said that there's no stipulation. He can weigh.
Yeah, there's no weight stipulation.
We'll see.
They just think they're getting him old. They think they're getting him old. But Buddy is smart. You know, Buddy, I know exactly what to do. And I think Canelo will have to stop him to win the fight.
Absolutely.
If he goes the distance, I can't see him outpointing Kovalev.
And I'm
if he couldn't stop Jacobs, nowhere near stopping Jacobs, I don't see how he's going to stop Kovalev.
I think they didn't pick this fight correctly because, you know, obviously my man, I'm confident in my man. I was confident in my man before we fought Kovalev, and I was confident in my man now. And I'm saying that for Kovalev to, you know, teach us that lesson, you know, Anthony's a young lion. And I keep telling people, this man ain't shot. This man's got legs left, you know. And he weathered the storm. And you're right, Buddy McGirt is very smart. And I'm of the opinion exactly like yourself. I'm like,
Got him in the right mindset to win now. He don't no longer have the pressure of being the crusher.
Absolutely.
So he's going back to his strength, which is being a good boxer.
Yes, yes.
So it's going to be interesting to see if he gets past that left hand. That's the whole key to the fight. Canelo being able to close the distance, and he's going to spend a whole lot of time slipping and ducking that left hand, which gets fatiguing.
Yes.
And like I said, Kovalev still got his in and out legs.
Yes. Andre Ward said something very, very, he said like in the first fight that he had, what was that? No, it was November 17. Like you said, like, in that fight when he fought Kovalev, he was more worried about how he looked. He bulked up. He wanted to look a certain way. He wanted to look.
Like,
but he said, he went back to.
And that was surprising to me.
Yeah.
That was surprising to me. But, you know, in the first fight, we couldn't run because he had knee issues. So we couldn't run at all. We had to make other adjustments.
Right.
So, you know, he did concentrate more on strength training and everything to compensate for that. But in the second fight, the knee healed and we were able to do the cardio that we needed. Because, you know, you need legs to be successful against Kovalev because he was no joke.
Yep.
He was no joke. So
what's your prediction for the fight?
I cannot.
Verge, what's your prediction?
I got Kovalev on a decision.
Okay.
Yeah. I got Kovalev by
stoppage. I got Kovalev on a decision.
Tony's got that stoppage.
I actually think he can stop it. I actually think he can stop. And that's not me, you know, because of, you know, how we were in the fight. I just look at this, one, the size difference. Two, Canelo's not fighting Rocky Felding. You know, and I say that with all respect to Rocky.
You're right.
You know, this is an elite champion, and he's proven it over and over again. You know, the first fight with Andre, And obviously the second fight with Andre and the fight with Hopkins even, you know, we're not, Hopkins is a great boxer and a legend in his own right, you know, and I know it was time ago, but I just think that watching, I mean, I was there in Atlantic City for the first Kovalev v. Alvarez fight. And then to see to see him come back months later and totally outbox Alvarez, and then the fight after that fight, my guy, I said, this isn't a washed up fighter. You know, and as just like you, it's either going to be a decision or, but I'm saying a stoppage.
Okay, and I'm going to have to disagree with both of you, and I love both of you. And you, Virgil knows I got the most love for Virgil Hunter. Virgil Hunter was the first man.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, and it's great talking to you, coach, and good luck in the future.
Yes, sir. But and, I think I got to disagree. I've got Canelo on points. There is no way on earth Canelo's getting points. Listen, we've seen him go points before and get dubious decisions. Adelande, when he fought Lara, when he fought, come on, man, I didn't think he won that fight, right? Mm. Seriously, I didn't think he won that fight. I've seen him go when he goes certain. I'm telling you, I just think it's the right time, right place for him. And I think it's been 2 months since the Andy Yard fight. And I think reverberations of that round eight, I was watching Yard versus Kovalev this morning. Yard hitting with some shots around the shoulders and all that. I don't think he's going to. I think it's the right time, right place for. And I got Canelo on points. That's how I see it.
See you, 15.
But it's always a pleasure talking to you, Virgil. You're my guy. I love you.
Okay,
man. Spencer. Thank you very much, brother.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I'll be talking to you. Take care, coach. Right, okay.
Yes. And closing the show, we cannot do it without talking about the Dark Destroyer, the Ilford man himself. Nigel Benn.
The Dark Destroyer.
The Dark Destroyer. What do you think about it? What do you think about this whole thing?
I don't know what to say, Tom. It's like, it's all over me. It's all over.
Now, listen, let me just tell you this. Nigel Benn was the guy, right? I remember when like Nigel Benn used to come in Mary had the Nigel. You see when you know you made it? You know you made it when people say, right, I got a haircut and a haircut's named after you.
Yes.
You had the Tyson.
Yeah. And then you had the Nigel
Benn.
The Jerry.
The Jerry Curtis, the side, and you go around and. Nigel Benn. Don't play with Nigel Benn when Nigel Benn used to be on Seconds Out on ITV, like 1987, 1988. Don't muck around with that guy. That guy was knocking out heads. I remember when he first turned pro with Burt McCarthy, the man that used to own OTV. You remember OTV? Where you could buy the TV from. Burt McCarthy used to manage him, and then Burt McCarthy. He gave him over to Frank Warren in 87, and then things really, really, really started to
come
blow
and spit the knowledge
for Nigel Benn. And I just remember, like, just those back to back wins and how he behaved, like 18 months as a professional, becoming Commonwealth middleweight champion, going on losing to Michael Watson in the tent in Finsbury.
Keep your head straight, Spence. Right?
Now I'm just telling you, like,
he's getting emotional.
I'm getting emotional. You know why? Because you're talking about childhood, fam.
Yes,
right. Sir. So you're talking about childhood where, and the thing about it is this: what Nigel Benn brought something where he was like an amalgamation of street culture, right? Mm-hmm. But then also of, because he was from West End, of the East End, right? He brought that culture as well. And also on top of that, because he was in the army, he was a Royal Fusilier, right? So he amalgamated the country. People don't seem to get that. And I remember like when Nigel Benn was saying, the only fighter in British boxing that's going to earn more money than me is Nigel Benn. Sorry, is Frank Bruno.
Of course he's going to earn more money than himself.
It's Frank Bruno.
Yes.
And I remember reading that in an article in the News of the World, right? But I reckon if we should go look at it, I think Nigel Benn actually earned more than Frank Bruno at the end of it. He's a two-time world champion, right? 16 million people tuned in November of 1990 when he boxed Chris Eubank.
So what would make him come back?
Why? You know what? Well,
I'm just laying out. I just want to know.
You know what? When he was saying that I want enclosure, right? Listen, the closure.
Hold on, let me just tell you. It's not me doing impersonating Nigel Benn. So Nigel, when you see this and you look for him.
Nigel's cool. Because every time I see Nigel, Nigel will come up to me.
Forget about Nigel. Connor can swing.
No, Connor's my guy. Connor's,
I see Connor swinging on Saturday. Big up Connor Benn.
Connor had a very good win. I like Connor's cold.
Connor's my man.
Right?
He swings. Right. And he's a young man and he's going to go a long way in the sport.
But why would you, when you're past 50, say that you want to fight? And I understand when he's saying like he had something inside. Like when you get this, like, you know, you get them, the Rocky Balboa moments that you think you got something in your basement still. You know what I mean? But when you go down and you think about what you got in your basement, it's actually is cobwebs, brother. You know what I mean? And I wouldn't want to see nobody get hurt at this stage. So in a way, I'm glad that he's not fighting, because Sakio Beaker ain't no joke neither, you know?
Yes.
Right? Sakio Beaker is a serious man. And now Nigel Benn has decided to call it in, because he said he had to get 2 cortisone injections in his shoulders. Yes. He sparred with Craig Spider Richards. And he said, like, he's in too much pain and now he's called it a day. And it must be painful for him. But what I'm trying to say to you is this. He was saying, now I'm going to pass on the reins to my son, right, to carry on the Benn name. But I think you've done that already, because your son is carrying the name really, really well for a young man, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like with Connor sometimes thinks, well, it's big shoes to fill because of my dad. I'm saying you don't need to fill your dad's shoes. You just need to fill your own.
Well, don't know too much, but I've heard him say that, you know, listen, I'm my own man. I'm doing this off my own back. No one ain't running in the morning with me. I'm doing it my own. So I think that Connor is actually, you know, relishing the task of making a name for himself.
100%.
In terms of Nigel actually fighting on, my own personal opinion is, I guess no one knows Nigel better than Nigel. And I know a lot of people have said that, why is he fighting at, or why is he attempting to fight at this age? But listen, the man knows what he knows. It's in his head. That's what I just believe. And I believe, yes, we know, you know, there's always going to be concerns. Maybe the stars aligned.
Yeah, and because that's how I see it.
Because his son wasn't happy that he's fighting.
Right, good.
And sometimes, you know, the unseen powers make these things happen.
Yeah, 100%. And I think Nigel is a God-fearing man. And I think, as my dear friend Michael Cross always says to me, God was on the job. Because I wouldn't want to see a legend as Nigel Benn and done the things that he's done, right? Pee on their legacy.
Yes. Right? I think things have to stare you in the face at times. And this is obviously one of those times, because even the interview I saw of him, the way he was telling everybody, you can see, like, it was paining him to say it, but he actually finally admitted it. And that is part of the rehabilitation, if you ask me.
Yeah, of course it is.
You understand? So that's why when I hear things, I'm like, it's going to be what it's going to be. You know, just let that force, you know, it's nature. Mm. You know, things are going to happen whether you like it or not. Once you plant the seed, he planted the seed, he thought he was going to fight. He prepared to fight. Apparently, the preparation was quite good, but, you know, after the swelling...
It's wear and tear. Let me tell you this. You see, when I was a kid, you can ask...
It's a long time ago, I suppose.
Yeah, of course it is, right? and that's the pot calling the kettle black. But what I'm trying to say to you is like...
What's the matter? Why? There's no need for that.
Of course it isn't.
Go on anyway,
Right, and I remember... Like, it was like a party trick. I could do the splits. And I could do it to a late age. From young, I could do the splits. Let me try to do the splits now, Tundi. I'll break my
back. Rusty.
I'm rusty. I'm dead. You're like, goes four kids down the line.
Listen, but the point I'm saying is like that. I mean, correct me if I'm mistaken. Tony Sims was going to be in his corner, right? Is that right?
I'm not sure.
Okay. I know Tony Sims is not going to... If he didn't feel that he was, you know, adequate and prepared to fight, then I'm sure he wouldn't, you know,
put his... You know what they say about fighters, Ton? And, you know, because we're ex-fighters, right? That when people say, oh, yeah, fighters are the last to know it, they're not. You know what I mean?
You ain't never heard me say that.
I know you ain't. But, you know, they do say that. Fighters are the last to you know what I mean? They're the last to know. No, they're the last to admit it. Sometimes you just don't want to admit certain things, right?
Yes.
And I'm trying to say, like, the closure is this. There is never a closure. When he said, I want a closure on my career, I think the 2 Steve Collins back-to-back fights were closure. I think when he fought Sugar Boy Malinga and he lost to Sugar Boy Malinga,
yes,
that could have been closure. In matter of fact, when he beat Gerald McLennan in, what was it, February 25th, 1995.
Come and spit the knowledge.
That could have been closure.
Wait.
thank you, right? That could have been closure for me because he could. That was a hard, brutal fight. In fact, it was that fight that leaned his mouth. Let's be real. So for all of these kind of things, I'm just saying, I just want to see a legend who it is, who's somebody who I greatly respect, who has been a beacon and a pillar for British boxing, and the fact that Nigel Benn, I remember being around Crocodile, who used to work for Mike Tyson.
Crocodile.
All right, and I remember a Crocodile said to me, oh, yeah. And
he used to wear the waistcoat.
Yeah, he used to wear the waistcoat. Nigel Benn came to the hotel to meet Mike Tyson, and I think at that time it was the first time that they ever met each other, when Tyson was over here to fight Julius Francis, right? And he goes up there, he turns up, and he goes like, oh, man, oh, Nigel Benn, man. Oh, he's a killer, man. Mm. They knew how serious Nigel Benn was. And it was nice that, like, the Americans respected Nigel, because Nigel never played about, you know?
Mm.
Nigel, when he went to America in 1990 and knocks out Doug DeWitt, then he goes on, he fights Iron Barkley in one of the... That's a classic.
Come on, spit the knowledge.
Right, when he goes and fights Iron Barkley...
I was in the hotel, just by the way.
Was you in the hotel then?
At the hotel, yeah. Right. When Tyson come up at Park Lane.
Oh, remember? I took you.
Oh, yeah, you.
You know about, oh, you was in a hotel. I took you there. Remember that part that I took you.
Right? I rode up there with Spencer Fearon in a hotel. Remember? Yeah. Mike Tyson come down and bad up G.
You remember that? Yeah, yeah, Mike Tyson. It was Lloyd Hannigan that caused that rift, you know?
Yeah, I remember. Oh, man. See, this is history, man. But we've been in this game. We've been in this game a long time. Yeah, you rolled up to the hotel.
Right, we rolled up to the hotel.
Waiting for Mike Tyson to come downstairs.
You know that. And he bad up Anthony G, right?
I never said that.
No, but he did, though. No, I'm just telling you how it is. He bad up Anthony G because Lloyd Hannigan went up to Mike and said, hey, Mike, you see that guy over there, right? He don't like me, right? He's not a good guy. And then Mike went, you know, what did you think, man? That mother. He went on at Anthony G. But we digress.
We digress.
We could talk this thing all day, every day.
Nigel Benn. Anyway, listen, I don't want to go on about it. You know, he's not going to fight.
Nope.
He's called a closure to the end of his career, closure to his career. And I think it's good. I find the powers that be. That made it happen. The stars have aligned, and he's not going to have any. And he can keep his legacy intact, if you ask me.
His legacy is intact. It's Nigel intact. Benn is great.
Nothing else to prove. Other than, you know, and again, I mean, I don't want to go on, but he spoke about closure. He spoke about wanting to just get that itch off his back. And I think he's got it now.
Yeah,
but it wasn't the way he wanted it to come off. It's come off.
It's what Almighty wanted.
There you go.
Simple as that, man. Peace to fingers to everyone. It's been an absolutely...
Lines in the cup!
Fantastic show.
Lines in the cup!
Too fantastic.
Lines in the cup!
I can't stop this turn.
That's the wrong one.
It's sad that we gotta go.
Wait. We got enough. Oh, wait.
We don't give way!
You know what? Hey, man, it's like I don't even want to go today, but today was being fantastic.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, like, subscribe to The Fight Is Right.
And comment,
because I want to hear the feedback. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, subscribe, comment. And we're going to keep on doing what we're doing because we're passionate about this thing. And what I realize is this, like, Tundi's taking his own money, invested in it, even though he's got enough money now. Tundi's a millionaire, bro. Right? So I'm saying, like, subscribe, comment. Was it on the Stamina for Sale, on Facebook, on YouTube,
Instagram,
Twitter? Yeah, I mean,
The Fight Is Right.
The Fight Is Right. Peace, two fingers. I'm so honored to be up with my brother, Baba Tunde Ajayi.
Likewise.
The genius, right?
And the knowledge.
I'm trying, right? Peace, two fingers. We're out. See you next week.